Romans 10.
Kevin's, I haven't forgotten about the carpets on the floor. I've been contemplating the noise factor.
Are you fully moved downstairs for your office yet? So that means you have to office with Harry? If we use office as a verb? He has his own private space, yeah. All right, we are in verse 10. In verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference.
I'm sorry, excuse me, did we study verse 10?
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Did we study that?
Yeah, I thought we did.
Sorry.
Remember we talked about location of sphere and it's in the heart man believeth.
Yeah, I remember verse 9, I just didn't remember verse 10.
Okay. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, ashamed here is it's a word that I can't pronounce in Greek. But it means not be disappointed. And his confidence in the efficacy of the seed is total. All it requires from us is what it really means to say believe. You know, total dependence, total reliance, 100%. And it's a confidence that there's no stronger word that he could have used in this. It's kata shunlo, which means it's the ultimate. It's impossible to be a It's overwhelmingly impossible to be disappointed or to be, in that context, ashamed. Because that seed's efficacy is guaranteed, for he cannot deny himself. And this is, well, let's go to Timothy. Let's go to Timothy a minute. Never mind, I can't find it. I can't remember where it is. So let's stay in Romans. There's a scripture somewhere that, and I can't remember, it didn't coming to mind where it is, but that he cannot deny himself. It's, you got to see this, it's more than any kind of this. It's a thousand times more sure than even than gravity, or even knowing that the sun will rise. It's impossible for him to deny his own efficacy. All it takes is for us to get out of the way. All right? What, Gary, you're doing?
That is amazing. I mean, the fact that that's true is just phenomenal. Nor does he want to deny.
It's the only sure thing in time and space. Everything else denigrates.
That's to me the connection of his faith.
I know where we're going. Let's go to 1 Peter. Verse 18. Chapter 1, 18 or 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, he's judged, past tense, every man's work, and he found it lacking. You remember, the same as the handwriting in the wall in Babylon. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. That same handwriting written by the finger of God is on the wall of your mind. You have been judged in the balance and found to be eternally lacking. You can't meet the standard. You're not redeemable. So his response to that is then his own zeruah, his own seed, his own right arm has gotten him the victory. And this is the essence of the gospel. And that victory is assured. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what seems to be going on or not going on. It's more sure than anything. It's the only sure thing in all of time and space. So, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain manner of life or conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. And it's critical that we all like to think we're some kind of, we have some original ideas, or but everything that we have learned has been learned by the traditions of our fathers. And it all cannot meet the test of incorruptibility. It is all corruptible. Because corruptible means simply it denigrates with time, changes, goes downhill. And the seed of Christ is the only, and that's what truth is, by the way. Truth really means that which doesn't denigrate or change with time. Everything else does. Amen? From your vain conversation or manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of corruptible sperm, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the Logos. Now how then, again, if you go to Colossians, it says the gospel has already been preached to every creature under heaven. You see, we have a different understanding of what it means to preach than God does. He has declared this mystery to all men. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you've come to the end of yourself, there is the seed of Christ, because he has declared it. He has preached it to all men. Right. That's exactly that's what happened on Pentecost. Yeah. But it's no different. I mean, it doesn't matter what you label yourself. It doesn't matter what you, I'm this or I'm that. Because you are looked on by God by the religion that is going on inside you. And that's why the destruction of the idolatry within you, within the temple, is so critical. It's not, this mystery of God is not an add-on to your life. And so it either is total or it's nothing. You understand? Oh, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and he's going to make me be a politician for... No, he's not. Oh, he's going to... No, he's not. You have no idea what he's going to do. But your only requirement is integrity. If you have, if by your integrity, by your, and just mean being one, if by your integrity you haven't known the futility and emptiness of all your little dreams and ambitions and everything else, then you probably don't belong here. What? Your mind is going a mile a minute. Sure.
I'm trying to. I can't recall it. No, I can't. It ties back to not being ashamed.
That's why we're studying
this. Yeah. And so all this stuff while you were talking, it's like, oh, yeah, you won't be ashamed because in him there is no shame. In you there's nothing but shame. But
disappoint.
Yeah, and this opens it up to see.
Everything that you've ever done, you have been disappointed in. Now, when you remember it, you remember it a little differently. Oh, if I could just, if this place could just be like New Jersey. Oh, we only had Frank Sinatra here or some crap.
Cheesesteaks.
What?
Cheesesteaks and real pizza.
Yeah, oh yeah, if we only had real pizza. I mean, you see why you can't make any reference? Because your mind is lying to you? Because if that was not disappointing, you wouldn't have left it. Or you're mooning over some past love, Gary. Oh, isn't that? Huh?
That was a good one.
You haven't been healed yet?
You can recreate reality.
Well, it's been totally recreated.
There are people who have left here for trees and mountains. We'll talk about that.
Instead of me.
That's right.
No, my point is, if you are honest, if you have integrity, you cannot possibly go back in your mind and wish things, oh, that was so nice back there. Oh, it was. No, it wasn't. You would have stayed back there. It disappointed. Either by you disappointed it, or her, or him, or they disappointed you. There's no, everything disappoints except the seed of Christ. Oh, no. Like yesterday, I said it two or three times to different people and they didn't catch it, but I said, oh, we got to make a rule. It was a beautiful sunrise. We got to make a rule. The sunrise should last longer. No, the sunrise disappoints. Oh, God is revealed in nature. And then a hurricane comes. He's revealed in nature. What?
I said that's part of it.
I know, but whatever it is that you have given importance to will disappoint. That's the point of it. Oh, if I only had blah, blah, blah.
God will make sure of it.
Well, it's true. Everybody understand that? That's why we're studying this, because everything but him will disappoint. What?
He's jealous.
Right, he's sitting at the seat of jealousy. He's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. So everything else has to disappoint. But we have this incredible capacity to lie to ourselves. Oh no, man, if I could only, if we do, blah, blah.
We get it from our father.
Well, you get it from the snake is where you get it. You get it from your father, the devil. To keep you, that's his job, to try to keep you from, to get off the mercy seat. As it says in Ezekiel yesterday, to go where he is. It causes you to try to go where he isn't. He isn't in the past. He isn't going to be in the future. He is when he comes, but he's here. He's now. Oh, but if I had just done, no. Or if I'm going to do that, no. What? All right. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that's not words about the word. That gets so tiresome. Oh, I'm going to preach about Jesus. No, I'll preach him. Oh, I'm going to preach about the cross. No, the cross. All right, go back to Romans. No, go to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. It just came to me.
See, that's not my problem. It's torn.
We just go.
It says sharp turns.
2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, how do I deny the power thereof? I deny the power thereof by telling you what you should do, or by telling you how to do it. And if you got to hear this. He is his own dynamic. He bids you to fly, and when the time is right, he gives you wings. But you can't listen to anybody else that's telling you how to fly. The essence of the gospel is really, when it comes down to the short hairs, is waiting on him. With the certainty that he will not disappoint. Oh, I've been waiting 3 days. Or no. So what happens then when you don't wait? Then you have to interject what you think is the religious self, or the right way to act, or the right way to be. And then you have, and by doing so, then you try to work it, to quote somebody famous, we have to keep pushing power into it, so that the fact that it's paucity won't be revealed to you. And you do it internally. You play these mental games. And even preachers teach you how to do it. That's all Joel Osteen does, is he tells you how to get to do this thing. But he's in fact denying the power of God, the efficacy of God. And so his gospel is only for the ones that have some talent or some kind of natural ability, not for the losers. This is the same thing. I remember I told you that when I was I went to India and we went to one of the ashrams and we were going up the road to the ashram, and there were hundreds of the best of the best in India camped out along the way going up there, just waiting for the guru to give him a glance that would mean that he was accepted into the inner circle. Well, down in the valley were the unclean, the untouchables that lived like you can't even believe. Well, that's the same with the prosperity gospel. It only works if you were probably going to be successful anyway. And so it denies the mystery of God to the poor. And in fact, if what they're preaching doesn't come to pass, they say it's your fault because you don't either have enough faith or you have secret sin or you didn't give them enough money or now you're not eating right. So the whole process denies this incredible certainty of the seed, his own right arm. And it causes you to try to, here's how you have nice behaved kids, and here's how you have a nice wife, and here's how you make your husband behave, and, whatever. It's all nauseous. And it's a stench in the nostrils of God because they're denying the power of his son. Not to mention the hypocrisy because it never works. I mean, really, internally, everything they're doing will always disappoint because it came from a source other than that seed. And so you have to always act like you have to get plastic surgery so that you look the part. Now, I'm going to care about them. I care about what you do to look the part instead of waiting on him. Amen? Anybody raise up anything in anybody, that little rant?
The thing that I heard the loudest this morning was the preposition about, and that's what you continue to talk about. It's if you're preaching about, then you have all this righteousness because you're talking about him, but that doesn't mean anything to him.
Amen. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there, because if it was save Jesus Christ, then you'd try to use him as a role model, which that'll get you along. How's that worked out for you? But it's I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because in the crucifixion, it was everything about him was then dependent on the power of God, not on him. And that's where we are. And if we don't know that, then we're going to always be subject to believing some harebrained heresy that is just goofy. I'm going to go to Revelation 17. There came one of the seven angels. Now, this isn't the seventh one. It's one of the seven. And what we're going about to read in here has to take place in you. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And remember, the wine of her fornication, it's the same as the wine of Ephraim. It's the wine of self-seeking, and it never ends. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, but it's full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Now this is all your sweet thoughts. This is all these great ideas. Because we're going to find out where this whore is sitting. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Not like admiring, like he's admiring her, but he can't believe this is what's going on. Because what he's about to see is another stamp of what he saw in chapter 13, where he looked on the water and saw the beast first arise. Now he's seeing where that beast is seated in him. And he said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, who hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not, and yet is. It was and is not because Jesus Christ overcome the beast, but now he's back in. He is because you have resurrected him in the temple of the living God. What? No, I'm talking about Kayla. Kayla. What?
It's freaking me out.
Good. And there is the mind which hath wisdom. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. It's the 7 mountains of her mind we've spent years and years discussing. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And remember, this was written 2,000 years ago. But he's written. We'll get into it later. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. And this, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdoms as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The city is your... We'll go into this in great detail later. But I want you to see that this woman that's sitting on the 7 mountains, this whore of Babylon, is sitting on the 7 mountains of every man's mind. And that's... her job is to cause separation from the first source. Her job is to use all these tricks of the trade to cause you to feel separate from the first source and therefore lean on your own arm of understanding to solve something. Because then you will be taken off the mercy seat. You'll be back dwelling on earth instead of dwelling on the mercy seat. Now we can go through in great detail and what all those symbolisms mean and where they came from. But we don't have time to do that. I just want you to see that the reason that you do what you do, or the reason you leave the mercy seat, is you've been seduced by this whore. And all those gold and precious stones that she's carrying, those are all your nice, sweet thoughts that are going to make you a hero There were the thoughts I used to have when I was a kid. I was going to beat up Mark Frick. He beat me up every day, but I'm going to beat him up the next time. Or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that. That's all the gold and the silver and the precious stones that your mind, that she's seducing you with. Does this communicate to anybody? And so you, this must be revealed. You must see this in you before you can see that seventh angel stand and say, the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more. He shall not disappoint. She is causing everything else to cause you to believe there's something else besides that. Amen? Amen. Any response? Any expansions? She's doing the will of God. See if there's something that can pull you off the mercy seat.
Cliche, the boredom of prostitution is not only the oldest profession in the world.
It's the only profession. We could read the Buckner chapter again if you'd rather.
I think it's take it, big guy.
Okay. Take it, big guy.